Thank you, Mike. Turn with me in your Bibles to the sixth chapter of Matthew. Doing some Bible study and reading just a little more excessively than normally do, and during the holiday time and school being out, realize I've done very little preaching from the Sermon on the Mount and the Gospels and more of the thematic challenge to the church during the times that I've been here to a deeper walk with the Lord and for the church being all that God wants us to be and a witness in the world. A lot of good messages here, and I want to us to read verses 25 through 34. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as what you shall eat or what you will drink, nor your body or as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow, and they do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon, all his glory, clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Will you pray with me? Father, I pray that these words of our Lord will penetrate our heart as we look toward a new year, as we look toward tomorrow. We wonder what a new year will bring. And Lord, I pray that as we have often been beset and at least tempted to yield to anxiety and worry and concerns and a unprecedented time of health risk and the financial implications and just the lack of socialization that is normal to life, that we find ourselves wondering what the future will hold and realize that worry and anxiety are so readily erode our trust in you. And I pray that you would minister to us and speak to our hearts as we heed these words in Jesus' name, amen. Well, next week when we gather, 2020 will be gone. How long have we been saying how we couldn't come soon enough, as if the dates on the calendar somehow captured and were responsible for all that we are experiencing? I mean, we all have our vision, our hope, the pandemic being passed, our economy prospering, socialization and our activities and church programs being back to normal. But what does the new year hold? You know, it's interesting that time is a product of creation. You know, hours and days and weeks, the seasons of the year, the years that they go by, it's all a part of the created world. That's not God's time frame. And I've often reflected at December 31st, on Thursday night, and January 1st, 2021, is really one day flowing into the other that's not going to be unlike July flowing into August and days that we experience. One day simply follows another. But you see, God's time frame has a bigger picture. And it's not about this day and this hour and this year, but it's about a relationship with Him flowing through our lives. I was a part of an organization in our mission work that had annual strategic planning objectives. And every year there'd be a new set of these are our objectives, these are our goals, these are our action plans. And if you didn't fulfill them the next year, well, a new set of them would come out the next year, as if God worked in those 12-month time frames. And I began to realize that things just don't happen in our time frame so much, especially in trying to witness and win people on the mission field in a Muslim country and such. And so my work plans and action plans and goals were usually 3 years or 5 years, because you just have to flow with what God chooses to do you as you walk and faithfully. You know, when God promised that he would make a great nation out of Israel, they found themselves in Egypt for 400 years in slavery. Just didn't happen overnight. You know, when Isaiah announced that a child would be born, that the Messiah would come as a child that would be born, as the prophet said, in Bethlehem, and then there was silence for 600 years. It just didn't happen in the expected time frame. When the Israelites strayed and just went back on serving and following God faithfully and were destroyed and taken into slavery in Babylon for 70 years. And they wondered, where is the promise of God? As the prophets talked about their being restored, but it didn't happen. And 2020, we feel like we've been in slavery and in bondage in Babylon. And we wonder, when is that hope going to be restored that God would bring into our lives in that big picture? It just doesn't flow by our time frame and our calendar. And yet, a new year is an appropriate time of renewal. The holidays for me have always been a time of kind of catching up. You know, end of the year, you got to start getting all your financial records in order to submit for, you know, for taxes. And I'm the kind that just assimilate articles, magazines, reading books. And I've got places for all of those. I'm a very organized people, but usually by Christmas time, by the end of the year, there's stacks all over my desk, books on the floor, and so forth. And maybe I've gotten to them, maybe they've been neglected, I still intend to get to them, but they need to be put in place. And, you know, I just don't do daily filing, electronically or paper files as well. But the holidays, things just kind of stop. You're at home, it's cold, it's rainy, decorations are up, and just there's some quality time to catch up with those sorts of things. So end of the year has always been a time of getting my files in order. Now, I'm a strange kind of person that really enjoys that. I can really get into it. You know, just hours, you know, putting it in the right file and sorting it and putting away. And I remember one day I just finished this particular drawer. I mean, tabbed all neatly, everything in place. I called Bobby, said, come look, pull out that file, just look. I mean, isn't that beautiful? You know, just that was an accomplishment. Well, the next day she saw a cartoon, a Garfield cartoon, you know, end of the year, and she cut it out and handed it to me. And John Boy was saying, Garfield, do you know what tomorrow is? It's January 1st. We get to turn over the page to a new calendar. And Garfield rolls his eyes and said, not since the heady days of reorganizing the sock drawer have we seen such excitement. And so all of us are not in that. But it is a new opportunity, a time, a marker for change. But often our resolutions don't last very long. Now, I'm not going to ask for personal testimonies, but, you know, a lot's been written by that. This is where gym memberships increase, and then About 2 months later, people are canceling those gym memberships. And you always have resolutions. I have about exercise and losing some weight. And often spiritual times, Deedon, I'm going to spend more quality time, be more consistent in my devotional time and prayer life in the mornings rather than just grabbing it when I can. After all, Romans 12, 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be renewed, transformed by the renewing of your mind. We all need times of renewing, and actually not once a year. We all can testify just renewing on January 1st in a resolution to be more serious about our devotional life or be more involved in witnessing or losing weight and dieting or exercising. And our resolve just doesn't last that long. You know, if you're really good, maybe into February. But by spring weather, I mean, life is changing and you've forgotten all about it. And what about the year before? What do we need in terms of renewal? I mean, what does this represent in your life? Has this past year, has your faith been strengthened? Your dependence on God, maybe out of necessity of what we've encountered and had to deal with? Or has your confidence in God lapsed and faith begun to erode? Has 2020 led you to lean more on Jesus than you normally would? Or do you find in reaction to all the inconvenience and things that we're suffering that old nature has raised its ugly head in bitterness and anxiety and worry and concern, doubt, and despondency? Can you remember when you first trusted in Jesus? When you yielded your life to Him? Well, it was a long time ago for most of us here. But can you think of some times in subsequent years where God's spoken to your life, maybe in revival services, or is just a time when the Spirit was moving and times of renewal and growth, and when you that trust, that commitment was renewed to the Lord? You know, often churches preach, and you don't have a lot of lost people that need the Lord, that are present, but preach toward rededication. You never know where one is in their walk with the Lord, and we all are in need of constant renewal, or regular times when God will speak into our time to restore that life of trust in Him. But again and again, and how wonderful it is that we serve a God of grace that's willing to forgive us in spite of how we may have failed Him or just been neglectful and how we ought to be living and serving Him, that He gives us a second chance. He's always ready to receive us. Like the parable of the prodigal son, no matter how far we have strayed from Him, that He's ready to receive us. He gives us a second chance and a fourth chance and a fifth chance. Like Peter, even though he had denied Him, that He's a God of grace who forgave because He had a plan and purpose for his life. And maybe we haven't verbally denied Christ as Peter did, but just in the way we live, getting consumed with worldly things and just more lackadaisical about our faithfulness to church and serving one another and ministering to Him, that we've denied Christ and His will, but He still has that plan and purpose and is willing to bestow grace when we come to Him. So we do need to think about where we are at this point in our walk with the Lord, where we are as a church. What does God want for us in the new year? But realize there's nothing magical about turning over the calendar to a 2021 date. Now, I don't know how long it's going to take before you quit putting 2020 on your checks, but It usually takes me a while, but it's 2021. But what really happens? Nothing's magical about that. You know, because the future is just a hope. It's not yet. It's really a dream, a fantasy of how we want it to be, how we may expect it to be, or what we would like to happen in our life. But the point is God in control or not? Whatever happens or takes place, is God the one that is guiding each day? And the only way you can make a difference is to give every day to the Lord, whatever the date on the calendar or the year. Otherwise, we miss the joys and opportunities that each day brings. And my message is on spiritual warfare. I remember giving the illustration of the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, a fictional account of how he imagined Wormwood, the Screwtape, giving instructions to some of his little demons, one of which was Wormwood, of how he could defeat a certain Christian that he had been assigned to. Get him to neglect his devotional time in prayer life, and he'll have no power in his life whatsoever. Get him to doubt the truth and authority of God's word, and he'll have no foundation to building a life on behalf of our enemy, which is Jesus Christ. But one of them that I particularly identified with, he said, let him have good intentions about serving the Lord and what he's going to do, but get him to procrastinate and always keeping it out in the future, putting it off. Don't get around to it. Don't be more faithful, serving the Lord and witnessing and serving him, but just keep him procrastinating and putting it off, and he'll never realize that it's only in the present that time touches eternity. You see, it's only now. It's only today. Tomorrow's not here. Yesterday is past. Either you do it now, or it's just a dream. It's just a fantasy. It's just a hope. You know, there are a lot of things we're looking forward to. You may be look back over this year, not just the inconvenience of the pandemic, the risk, maybe health failure. Maybe some of you have experienced financial repercussions. There's certainly those in our fellowship who have experienced unusual loneliness and isolation due to the restrictions, and even ourselves in times of lockdown. But like many, you may be tired of your job. Just the same routine, getting up every morning, nothing different, nothing to look forward to, nothing to expect. You may be tired of looking at your spouse across the breakfast table every morning. It's been going on a long time. And no, they're not going to change, and you're not going to either. But how you can either grovel in despondency and disappointment, or you can see each day as a new opportunity for God to shine through your life, to be different, to make a difference in your marriage, in your family, in your job, with your co-laborers, with others. It's a choice. But it's not a choice that will be realized in the future if it's not today. And you choose today. You've often heard the expression that today is the first day of the rest of your life. It's not tomorrow, but today is the first day of the rest of your life. When I was growing up, I remember a popular song, you may recall, Mañana. Mañana, mañana is good enough for me. You know, the window may be broken, the roof may be leaking, but tomorrow, Spanish for tomorrow. You know, don't do today what you can put off to tomorrow. That's good enough for me. Well, that doesn't cut it in your walk with the Lord. That doesn't cut it in fulfilling His will and glorifying Him and serving Him in your life. It's more like, don't put off tomorrow what you can do today. Because if you're not going to do it today, you probably want tomorrow. I think many of us are at the age that you realize and could advise a lot of younger generations of the danger of putting off financial preparation for retirement. But there are many just caught up in the consumer society and economy. I'm going to get started on those retirement investments next year or next year when I get a new job or when I'm better able financially to, and you just keep putting it off. And how tragic not to come to a time of retirement adequately prepared for that time. We often have good intentions about being reconciled with family members. Some been for a long time, don't even remember what it is that created the estrangement there, but you know you ought to be reconciled, and you keep intending to get around to it, and you know you're going to, but not today, not today. You're aware of unchurched people that need Jesus. Know that you ought to visit with them. You ought to bring that up in your conversation next time you're together with them, but it's always the next time, rather than this time. And I remember so many times visiting and, you know, encouraging people to come to church, and how many times I've been promised, well, I'm going to start coming to church. Wonderful. I'll see you Sunday. Well, you know, I'm not going to be able to make it this Sunday. You know, you keep intending to. I'm going to start coming to church someday. Remember the experience of Felix that Paul, when he was imprisoned and witnessing to and sharing his testimony, and he said, Felix, I know you understand the prophets, the laws of the Jews, you know, and just felt like he was so close. But what did Felix say? Go away for the present, and when I have a more convenient opportunity, I'll send for you. And many of us miss it. Because that's exactly our attitude. When it's more convenient, you know, when I have an opportunity, then I'm going to make things different. It's not uncommon gated communities that we're familiar with along, and it's kind of an interesting thing. You come up and here's this gate, but a sign says, move forward slowly, and the gate opens. But you've got to keep moving. You can stop and sit there, and the gate is never going to open. And that's how the blessings that God wants to pour out to you will happen. You've got to keep moving forward. You've got to make the decision. You've got to make the choice. Not that you're going to do it sometime in the future or in 2021. January 1st, okay, new year, new start, new calendar. No, if you don't do it today, if you're not moving forward, nothing's going to happen in the new year as well. For the reality is your tomorrow is simply going to be an extension of today. Now, I'm kind of speaking to myself here because I've just been excusing this whole idea of dieting and exercise when all those Christmas goodies are gone. You know, they're not there to indulge in, but you know, it's just futile to talk about dieting with all those candies and cookies and Christmas goodies and leftovers that are still there. You know, I'm going to start a daily Bible study, systematically get into the Word and seek God. Be more faithful in witnessing, church attendance. Not likely if you're not doing it now. Because we can't dwell on past failures, but living in the past destroys the joy and potential of today because it drags into tomorrow. But it's not only because tomorrow doesn't exist, it's just a hope and a dream. But the problem with most of us, tomorrow is the breeding ground of worry and anxiety and fear. And what is anxiety? It's fearing something that hadn't occurred yet. But it might happen. What if? Everything indicates worst case scenario. And we start feeling anxiety and there's not even anything there. that should make us worried or anxiety. I remember hearing someone referred to it, and saw this. If you've ever seen a picture, maybe in a manual or book, a magazine, but a microscopic picture of a fly. I mean, it looks like a monster. All of these eyes and furry tentacles and scales and everything. And I mean, that could strike fear. Some of these science fiction movies kind of portray that, you know, the fly's the big monster that's going to take over the world and eat the world and destroy you and everything. Fly? Is that something to be worried about? Get a fly swatter and swat him. I can take care of that right now. Well, that's about what most of our problems and things we worry about amount to. And Jesus spoke very directly to this. Now, I don't know how you're feeling, what your anticipation is of 2021. You know, I think we're all hopeful. Okay, after a few months, we're going to get over this. The vaccine's going to take hold, and it's going to diminish. And life is going to return to normal and so forth. But we can't be too sure about that. But Jesus spoke to this and said, fretting, anxiety, worry is unworthy of a Christian. It's contrary to trusting God. And in fact, it's an idolatry because you're putting more confidence in yourself and in the world and in circumstances than in God. How many times do you read through the Gospels, he chided the disciples, "O ye of little faith." That's who we are, people of faith, people who believe God. But Jesus didn't deny the reality of uncertainties and dangers of tomorrow. But what he's emphasizing, do you believe in a God who cares and knows your need and has the power to provide for you and to care for you? We tend to have an overactive imagination about the future and the troubles and turmoils and things that beset us. Why? Because it's an overemphasis on self. What may happen to me? The dangers I may encounter, the threat to my health, the relationships that I have. And it's also because we have a false sense of values on secondary and trivial things. And Jesus put it all in perspective when he said, life is more than these. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What is he saying? Seek the lordship of Christ, the master, the king of your life. Be more concerned about walking in obedience, holiness, doing what is right in the sight of God. You have no place for worry once you've come in submission to the lordship of Christ. Once you're seeking the kingdom of God and his leadership, his power, his guidance, his protection, his lordship over you. And he's brought you into his kingdom. He's assured you of abundant life. He's assured you that 2021 holds what? Peace, joy, power, and purpose. Not from circumstances or what may happen to our economy or the pandemic, but because he is Lord of life. And that is where our life is. Not in the trivial things of eating and drinking and what we may experience, and the health, as the scripture told us. So I want to ask you this morning, are there areas where you're not trusting in God? Maybe problems, issues with children, even grown children, estranged family members, not trusting God, concerned about your finances, investments, worried about the country, direction, where it's going. concern and worry about the church. Are we going to get a pastor? Where is our church going? What does the future hold? You know, it's 2021. Are you plagued with depressing doubts even as we enter a new year? Jesus said, this is characteristic of unbelievers. But we're members of God's kingdom. That means we have a king that's in charge, that's in control. And we can trust him. Someone has said that worry is a thin stream of fear through your mind that becomes a channel washing everything into its flow, disrupting productivity, relationships, and ability to relate to God. What Jesus is reminding us of is God's on his throne. And we come into that kingdom in submission to him as our Lord. There is not a thing we need to be worried about except our obedience, our faithfulness to God's call and his leadership. He loves you. He has a plan and a purpose for you in 2021. And I assure you, it's not for calamity. It's for blessing. He is with you. He will never leave you or forsake you if you believe in him and trust in him. Folks, he's wiser than you are. He's smarter than we are. He's stronger than you. He sees the picture, the big picture. He knows what's happening. Trust him with the future, but live today. Make this the day of change and commitment to seek his kingdom, submit to his lordship, and do what is right today. Will you bow with me in prayer? Father, I pray that you would remind us that you are God. You have the world in your hands. Nothing happens in our life and circumstances right here in Vicksburg, Mississippi, that you didn't already know about and already have a plan and future for us. Our time frames and not yours. We don't have to wait 600 years as Israel did for Jesus to be born. We don't have to wait 400 years of bondage to the world. But you're available. You live within us. You provide for our every need if we'll just trust you and begin that walk of faith anew, not on January 1st, but today. Begin seeking you in prayer and Bible study, not next year, but today. Begin a resolve to be sensitive to others that need the Lord, that need a word of encouragement, that need a word of ministry, that are lost and need our witness, our testimony. Today, not sometime in the distant future. Lord, may we live today in full surrender to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand as we sing our hymn of a commitment invitation? I surrender all. Make that your prayer, your commitment, not just for Friday and following this week, but for today, the first day of the rest of your life.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender all. To him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. Okay. Bless that wonderful name. Bless that wonderful name.